friends. It's me, Katie Ann, and your host of the Full Confidence Ahead podcast, where we go on a journey together, tackling the fears of life from family relationships to finance, from careers to community. Today, we are in for a treat. We have Mr. Inspiration on with us today and his family, and we are so excited for this conversation. So we're going to have a moment for our sponsors, and we're going to bring him on with his family, and this is going to be just a lovely conversation. So hang in there with us.
Have you ever felt scared swiping your card at a cash register, not knowing if it would be declined or maxed out on your credit limit? Believe me, I've been there, holding my breath, waiting to check out. Thankfully, all of that fear melted away and turned into confidence when I took a financial literacy course. The PowerPay Money Master course has changed my experience at the cash register from fearful to fearless. The online course is video-based and gives you real-life money smarts. USU Extension is offering a free Money Master course to all Full Confidence Ahead listeners. Go to extensioncourses.usu.edu/KatieAnnPowell and add the Money Master course to your cart. The link will give you the $40 course for free. You can also get the course discount by going to extensioncourses.usu.edu and finding the Money Master course under the Finance category. Use the code KatieAnn, KatieAnn with no spaces, at checkout to claim your $40 discount and free course.
Okay, we're back from our break, and we have Mr. Inspiration, Taylor Shields, and his family. Taylor, can you say hello?
Yeah.
Say hi, everyone.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Taylor. I am so excited to have Taylor, Doreen, and Scott here on the show with us. I saw Taylor be crowned Mr. Inspiration. Taylor, was that a pretty exciting night?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yes. I just am so grateful that Taylor could be here. I'll have Scott and Doreen introduce Taylor a little bit more, but a little bit about what I learned when I watched Taylor on stage. Number one, Taylor brings the light in the room. Taylor, you make friends pretty easily, don't you?
I know.
That's true. Yes, he does know. He's also got the dance moves, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I know.
He was born with light into this world and quite a few complications, right, Doreen?
Yes.
Yes,
we did have quite a few. It was right. Emergency C-section. So...
Right. And as I understand, open heart surgery and quickly following pneumonia, right?
Yes. The open heart surgery was at 9 months. No, 5 months. 5 months. 5 months. Yes.
He was born with no chambers in his heart. And so, but he was only 4 pounds. And so the doctor wanted him to put on as much weight as possible before they did the surgery. But even at 5 months, he was still only 8 pounds.
And he was on 18 doses of medicine a day just to keep his little heart going and his
oxygen 24/7. Yeah, we used to call it the war chart, all those medications. So we had to keep him quarantined too because he couldn't get sick because the doctor said they wouldn't be able to save him if he got sick. So
before the surgery.
So,
and this was quarantine before quarantine was a thing, right? Like this was a long time ago.
1998,
Oh, Taylor is truly Mr. Inspiration and quite literally a miracle.
Yes, I know.
You do know, huh, Taylor?
When he was born, it was emergency C-section, as Doreen said, and of course I was there. This was our 7th child, so we kind of knew how the routine was supposed to go. When the doctor pulled him out from the C-section, he was completely purplish blue, which we later learned was because of lack of oxygen, because he didn't have any chambers in his heart. What happens is the unoxygenated blue blood, right, was getting recirculated back into his body without being fully reoxygenated. And so, so that's why we had to have him on oxygen 24/7 and had to have him on a whole bunch of medications to keep him alive. But as you can see, it all worked. Here he is.
Yes, he is, with good dance moves too.
I know.
A little funny story with all of his energy. So the doctor who performed his heart surgery, Dr. Bailey, he was part of the team that did the first Babylon heart transplant into a human back in the late 70s. And they continued that research into the 80s. And it was through that research that the they actually learned how to fix Taylor's heart. Otherwise, up until they learned how to do the fix, Taylor's condition was a fatal condition. He wouldn't have made it out of infancy. So anyway, but I joked with the doctor, you know, Taylor got to be such a animated and a spirited child. I asked him one time, I said, "Are you sure you didn't put a baboon heart in him?" And he said, no, he didn't get a baboon heart. That's his heart. He's just very energetic, active, full of life.
He is full of life and is quite a light. I want to know too, so when did you find out that Taylor would be an extra light into this world, that he would be a special needs child and a light?
Green into that.
You know what? You know, after you have the birth, we didn't know. We didn't know ahead of time that he was going to have Down syndrome because it didn't matter to us. We wanted a baby and we just wanted a baby. And wherever they came, it was just fine with us, you know. And, you know, but when it happened, it's interesting, though. I always kind of felt like I was going to have a baby with Down syndrome. And even I was kind of prepped for it ahead of time a little bit. In college, I volunteered and worked with children with Down syndrome and helping them to learn how to swim. I actually took a class that went along with my major on children with disabilities and how, you know, to deal with them, and had the opportunity of volunteering at a home and work with a little boy with Down syndrome. And so it became very, you know, comfortable for me, I guess you might say. But when it actually happens, it's kind of like, oh, okay, now what? You know, right. It's easy to kind of work with one for a few hours, a few times a week. And then now it's like, okay, now what? You know, but I wasn't afraid. It was just, what does this mean? What is my life like on a daily basis? You know, but after, you know, we had a decision to make after we knew he had Down syndrome, which was shortly after he was born. We had a decision to make because we had, you know, six kids at home that we needed to bring our, you know, their little brother home. And our attitude, we knew, was going to affect how the children reacted to him. And so we knew right then and there that we felt like this was a gift. And we were thrilled that we had this special gift in our home. And we explained that to the children, you know, look, you know, he may have some struggles, but, you know, he's going to take all of us to work together. And we're so happy to have him. And, you know, that kind of helped set the tone, I think, for the family, that we were happy. And so the kids were happy and they just accepted him. And we've just seen as he grew, as he was able to influence lives just because of him, just that spirit that they carry, that sweet, tender spirit that he has, just seemed to radiate to others, and they could feel it and feel his love right away, I think.
Yeah, just to add a little bit to that. So I didn't actually even know what Down syndrome was when Taylor was born. When I was growing up, unfortunately, we referred to Down syndrome kids as mongoloids, right? Which was, you know, not a term that's a very endearing term. And I feel bad that I fell into that trap, but that's all I knew, right? That's all I'd ever heard them referred to as. I wasn't ever really around one. But so I had to actually go, you know, learn what Down syndrome was. But what was interesting is when, you know, right after he was born, you know, he was purple and blue, and I actually thought he was dead, right? I thought it was going to be a stillborn baby. And so anyways, but they were, you know, as soon as the doctor, you know, pulled him out, he handed him to the neonatal nurse, and she ran him off into the corner there. And there was a whole little team of people. And you could tell there was a lot of, you know, energy in that corner trying to work on Taylor. And, you know, And anyway, so after, Jerrine kept asking why they weren't letting her hold him, because that's the norm, right? As they pull the baby out, wrap him in a blanket, say, you have a beautiful boy, hand him to mom. And, you know, we snuggle for a little while before they worry about cleaning him up. But that didn't happen. So she kept asking me what, you know, why can't I hold Taylor? We'd already named him ahead of time. Mm. Anyway, I said, oh, they're just, you know, working on him, cleaning him up. And I didn't know what to say, because in my mind, I thought he was, you know, I didn't think he'd made it, right? So anyway, after, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, the neonatal nurse came over to me, and I was just standing there with Doreen while the doctor was sewing her up. And she asked if she could talk to me outside. And I thought, oh, here it comes, right? So when we walked outside, there was a bench there outside the operating room. And she says, why don't we sit down, you know? And I thought, okay, well, here it comes, right? And so we sit down, and she says, I don't know how else to tell you this except just to tell you, she says, but your son has Down syndrome. And I looked at her and I said, he's alive?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And she said, well, just barely. He's a one on the Apgar scale, which is, you know, how they rate babies. And I said, well, I don't care what syndrome he had. Again, I didn't know what it was. I said, I don't care what syndrome he has. I just want to know if he's going to live. And she said, well, he's got a long ways to go, but we'll do the best we can, you know? And so Doreen didn't know, right? And so it wasn't until we wheeled, you know, they had to finish her. They didn't let me back in the operating room because they didn't want me to get all prepped again. And anyway, so, you know, once they wheeled Doreen up into the room and finally got her all set up and everybody left the room, Doreen asked me, she says, why won't they let me hold Taylor? She had yet to hold him, right? And she's already up in her room. It's been, I don't know, probably 40, 45 minutes, whatever. And I said, well, I said, he has Down syndrome. And that's when Doreen and I remember she just kind of looked over towards the wall and she just said, I knew I was going to have a Down syndrome child. She says, I didn't think he was going to come. And so all of a sudden it just completely changed for me, because all of a sudden I realized that, wait, this is a gift from God. This is a child of promise. This is not something to be upset or disappointed by or cry or anything. I all of a sudden started to feel excited, like, wow, God gave us this gift of Taylor, right? And so, like Doreen said, that, you know, all of a sudden we saw him as a gift from God. And so we told our children that this was God's gift to our family and that he was going to be a great blessing to us and to many people. And as time has gone on, it's been exactly that. He's been a great gift to our family, to his siblings. He's, you know, and just to so many people, he touches lives. Like, I mean, I would get arrested for doing most of the things that Taylor does, right? but he can get away with it because he has this just pureness, this innocence, this love. And he just, you know what I mean? He just, yeah, he could just go up to a total stranger and just give them the hug of their life. You know, if it was me, you know, they'd have security taking me down and arresting me, you know, but with Taylor, it's just, he just lights up people's lives. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there, because right from the get-go, and everyone picks up on that, all of our extended family and friends and everybody around us has always picked up on our excitement and, you know, to have Taylor in our home, you know, and it just gets better with time.
And he was even born on his sister's birthday.
Yep, same day.
Oh, special.
Yeah. 8 days, 8 years apart.
Oh boy.
We call him identical 2 years apart.
I love that. Yeah. It's like Irish twins when they're exactly a year apart, but I don't know what Scottish twins, we'll throw that in there. Right. Same day, years apart.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you have our same birthday as Amber, huh?
Yeah, tell her, buddy.
Yes, you love your party. I mean,
he tells everybody it's his birthday every day. People give him things.
Taylor, you are smart. You are smart, Taylor.
they'll buy him stuff at the store. They'll give him money. They'll give him just whatever. It's just funny sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
That makes me totally joyful. I am so humbled by your story, by Taylor, by your family. I am just in awe. And I love that Taylor is our Mr. Inspiration. And so for our podcast listener, the Mr. Inspiration program is all about having a special needs adult representation for the community, especially because adult special needs are wildly misunderstood. And sometimes they're the really, truly the best part of our community. And I'm so grateful that Taylor is the representative of that. So the Turn Community Services put that Mr. Inspiration pageant on, and Taylor, oh, he won by, oh, in my opinion, man, it wasn't very close. He was, he shone on stage. It was quite amazing. But I want to talk to both you a little bit about Down syndrome. And I think it's quite wildly misunderstood. And like you were saying, Scott, is you didn't really know much when Taylor was born. And then Doreen, you've worked with a lot of Down syndrome children, but it's misunderstood in our community. And I just wanted you to help us understand, like, what does that really mean to have Down syndromes? What are the superpowers of that? And what are the challenges of that? Like, what does that really look like?
Hi, Doreen.
Well, I just kind of learned that, you know, in most cases, they will do most things, you know, they'll walk, they'll, you know, some are nonverbal, you know, Tay has some, you know,
verbal challenges,
you know, and yeah. Some are very verbal, you know, but they just do things slower, a little slower. And so anyway, it's they become a kid a little longer, but it's great, you know, because you just have to be patient while they take their little steps, you know, but along the way, they just have such amazing love just for everyone. And it's taught me a lot, that everyone deserves a smile, no matter if you don't know them or not. Everyone deserves to be noticed. Everyone just, I don't know what, just deserves attention. You know, and he is so good at that. It's easy to walk through a store and just, okay, I got to go get this grocery, and you just do your own thing. But he takes forever to go through a store because he's saying hi to everyone. And I thought, you know, good for you, Taylor. You know, everyone needs someone to notice them and just say hi, even if it's just hi. I mean, he gives the hugs, you know, but everyone just deserves to be noticed.
You know, there's something I learned too about Down syndrome people, right? Of both genders and all ages. Everyone's unique, just like every one of us is unique, even though we obviously share many similarities and so forth, but every Down syndrome person is unique with their level of functioning. They're, like Doreen says, you know, verbal, some are very verbal, some are less verbal, some are nonverbal at all. What they can do physically, some have, you know, physical challenges and all kinds of different things, but each one is unique, and Taylor's unique, and that uniqueness is special. Most Down syndrome people I've experienced in my life, I'm sure there's some exceptions to that, but of the, you know, many hundreds of Down syndrome people I have, you know, observed and been around and so forth, they range from a little bit shy to extremely shy. Taylor's unique. He doesn't have a shy bone in his body.
No, he does not.
I mean, he thinks that everyone in every situation is there for him, right? And he will engage every person that he possibly can that is within, you know, his little area, wherever he is, right? And it's wonderful to see, because it, you know, even the same people he sees over and over and over and over and over, when he sees them, he gets so excited and he just runs up and gives them the biggest hug, like it's his best friend that he hasn't seen in 5 years.
Oh, boy.
And that's every day. And, you know, there's something refreshing about having someone treat you like that every day. You know, for the religious people out there, it's just like Jesus hugging you every day. You know what I mean? It's wonderful. And that's just a unique gift that Taylor has, that he can just bring that, you know, pure love of Christ into people's lives like nobody else can.
That's the best description. I want to know, does Taylor ever have down days?
Only when he has to take a bath.
Oh, the face he just made there.
Not really.
Moments.
Yeah, down moments, yeah.
But never has had a down day.
And whatever little, you know, like, you know, he has to eat in a bath and he'll get kind of bugged about that. But as soon as he gets out, yay, let's go play, right? It's like, so he pops out of stuff just like instantly, right? But no, he doesn't really have down days. Yeah.
I want to know how he does it. Like, wow.
I know.
You know? And even just to bounce back, that resiliency he has, that resilient attitude of, okay, bath not so fun, then bounce back. And oh, it was so fun to see him on stage too, because even I felt like seeing him on stage and greeting family afterwards and people, it was as if he's never seen you. And it was like this big hug of like a family reunion. And it had only been like an hour. It was beautiful.
Yeah, he even gave Miss Utah a kiss.
Yeah, it was awesome. We have it on photograph.
A lot of the judges.
Kiss on the cheek, Yeah, I think that's how he won the event, is the free judging. He gave all the ladies big hugs and kissed them on the cheek, right? It's like, how do you vote against that? Exactly. You know, he's that way, though. It's like, he was so popular in high school, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how popular he was. One day, I forgot, it must have been at a doctor appointment or something, but I brought him to school late. So it was like 10 o'clock in the morning when I brought him back to school. And, you know, class was in session, so, you know, the halls were pretty much empty. But as we were about halfway to his class, I was walking him to his class, the bell rang. You know, it's like the whole children of Israel come.
It's like, out, whoa! Right?
All of a sudden, instantly, there's, you know, 1,000 kids in the hallway.
Yeah.
What surprised me was how many kids knew him by name. Mm. I mean, just people had no idea who all these kids were, right? And they were like, hi, Taylor, high five, hug, you know? And I'm like, how do all these people know him? Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and then not surprisingly, you know, he got nominated for prom king,
right?
And he won by a landslide, right? Later, he says, he says, once Taylor's name got in there, he says it was over, right? It was like no one was gonna compete with Taylor. So yeah, he got to be prom king. He loved it
because
he likes to be the center of attention. So imagine all these high school kids at a dance and Taylor's right in the middle, you know, doing his thing, right?
For Taylor, is paradise.
That's right.
Right. He loves people. He loves music. He loves dancing, and he loves food.
Oh, Taylor! What I love though is he loves to be the center of attention, but it's with grace and for the purpose of other people. Like it's for making other people smile, because other people love to be the center of attention, but it's for fame or fortune or this or that. And Taylor loves to be the center of attention because he knows he can make people laugh and smile.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he'll pull everyone else into the center of attention.
Oh, I was seeing that. I saw him pull Miss Utah on stage to do some dance moves.
That's right.
It was good. Oh, what have been some things that you had to, that have been some difficult challenges you didn't foresee with Taylor, that have been a little bit more of like a surprise as you've gone through life?
The first couple of years, I would say it was the medical stuff, you know, because... Mm-hmm. You know, he was in NICU for the first 6 weeks, and then, you know, all the way up until his surgery at 5 months, we'd had to keep him quarantined. So that was a challenge. And then the first couple of years, you know, he was in and out of the hospital with, you know, respiratory infections and stuff. But but since that time, the physical aspects have really, I don't want to say completely gone away, but they've largely gone away, you know.
Minimal. For me, though, at the beginning, it's kind of like I didn't know what it meant, meaning, do we ever go on a vacation? Right. You know what I mean? Like, just Scott and I, what does that mean? What does retirement look like? A lot of unanswered questions, you know, but as they grow and you get used to them, you know, their personalities and what they're like, and you have the family support, you realize, hey, you know, if I need to get away, we can. And so, you know, it's okay. It's okay. And it's like, I can't imagine life without him. And I'm so grateful that we have him. I don't want it any different. You know, we love having him in our home.
And we're blessed too, because of organizations, a variety of different organizations, large and small, like Turn, you know, that give him a place to go during the day to, you know, entertain him and help him and teach him and give him great experiences, things like that. And, you know, things like the pageant they put on and so forth. And like Doreen said, you know, his siblings loved to spend time with him. And fortunately, most of them live close to us. And so they get to spend a lot of time with him. And Taylor's learned to be a really good traveler. You know, he flies on airplanes.
Can we take him with us?
Yeah. When we take off, he raises his hands in the air like it's a roller coaster ride, you know? So, and then everyone around him on the plane starts laughing when he does that. And yeah, he's been to Florida and North Carolina, and he's been to Arizona, and he's been to Texas and California.
You know, he's just our little buddy. Yeah. He just goes with us, you know.
Yeah. And then sometimes if Doreen and I, you know, need to get away, just the two of us, then, you know, one of his siblings will gladly take him in and, you know, they all know him so well, and he knows them so well. And of course, he's the favorite uncle, right? So,
oh, I can imagine that.
all the grandkids, nieces and nephews, they just adore Taylor. And yeah,
what a snake.
It's a lot of fun to have him around with the grandkids. So
I'm just amazed at that. As we're kind of wrapping up here, I have two final questions. And so the first one I want to know from each of you, what's the biggest life lesson that you've learned from Taylor?
Doreen, go with that one.
You first.
I think it's the same thing I said before. Notice people. Yeah. Don't be so shy. You know, I was kind of shy a lot of my life, you know. So he kind of got his little lack of shyness from his dad.
I'm not shy.
But it's like everyone needs a friend. Everyone needs a smile. Just notice people and just show love for them. And he's totally non-judgmental of anyone. Yeah. And that's taught me too. Just look for the good. Look for the good in every person because everyone has good in them.
Yeah, and he's a people magnet. You know, I think people just see in him that pureness, that innocence, that joy, that just fun. Just an example, I took him to the gym the other day. It's a senior gym that I go to. And so, that, you know, it's just, you know, I don't want to say a bunch of old folks, but I'm the young one there. Anyway, so 62, I'm a senior now, I guess. Anyway, so what was interesting is as soon as we brought Taylor in the room, all of a sudden it's like everyone wanted to interact with him. You know what I mean? Yeah, and Taylor just does that, right? He's like Elvis Presley. When he's in the building, everybody knows, right? It's just... So that's the thing that I think is the most precious thing to me about Taylor is just how he blesses people's lives. And we don't have time tonight to talk about all those different ways, but so many experiences where people have like told me what it meant to them to have Taylor do what he did in that moment that he did it, right? The hug, the kiss, the whatever it was, right? Just something that just touched them, you know, even at the Mr. Inspiration pageant, there were a couple of women there. Doreen can probably share that story because they talked to her, you know, about, you know, just how they were touched by Taylor. And it was more than just, oh, he was funny on stage. You know what I mean? It was like,
right. It
mattered to them that they got to interact with him. And also with one woman, some of her children got to interact with Taylor quite a bit after the show. And I don't know. So it's just, yeah, he's just a great blessing in people's lives. Not just ours.
He is a blessing and you are both a blessing. Your whole family is truly a light. And so I want to ask the last question that this is a question we always ask every guest on the show. So you can each think of your answer. And what is one piece of advice you'd give your younger self to boost your confidence?
For me, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Not that you want to make mistakes, because I always thought I had to be perfect. I had to be perfect at this. I have to be perfect at that. And I realized I'm not going to be. And it's okay if we, you know, fail. We can just get right back up and keep trying. That people are going to still love us, even if we're not perfect. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn. But I know that as I still learn, that it's given me more opportunities because I'm more willing to take chances. I used to not want to do like a sport or something because I was afraid I wouldn't be good, or I wouldn't just take some chances on something because I was too afraid of being embarrassed or something. And it's just okay. It's okay just to if we do make a mistake, hopefully we don't, but if we do, it's okay. Just get right back up and try again and look what we've learned from it and kind of, you know, glean from those experiences and even better ourselves because of those things.
Yeah, for me, I would say I wish that I had been able to interact with special needs people much, much earlier in my life and not just had to wait for my own tailor. There's so many wonderful, wonderful, special people and their families, and we've been blessed to be around all of those. And I wish I would have, learned, you know, one of the things Taylor's helped us learn is how to not judge people and how to love everyone, regardless of what they look like and any aspect about them, right? And so I wish I would have learned to be non-judgmental and love like he loves at a much younger age. I think my life would have been better for it.
We are so grateful that you've come on. I have just, wow, been so touched, truly touched. And Taylor, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh boy.
And Doreen and Scott, really, thank you for sharing your time.
Well, thank you pleasure. For this opportunity.
We like to let Taylor share his life with as many people as possible. They're always better for it.
Okay.
After every episode, I'm amazed at what each of our guests have accomplished in their lives. They inspire me to go for my dreams and seize opportunities. The reality of life is that every opportunity and dream has a financial implication, and knowing how to manage and grow your money will not only help you achieve your goals, but also get to them faster. Utah Money Moms has been a resource for me to learn how to better manage my money and turn my dreams into reality. Their website is full of interactive material to engage all learning styles. My favorite resource is their free monthly webinars where I can listen and have my questions answered by financial counselors and educators. Head on over to utahmoneymoms.com or Utah Money Moms on Instagram to access free empowering material. Again, that is utahmoneymoms.com or Utah Money Moms on Instagram. Thanks for listening in on the Full Confidence Ahead podcast. Weekly on Tuesdays, we'll continue our journey of confidence together through new interviews and insights. Make sure to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on the latest conversations and confidence boosts. And by the way, you got this because you deserve to live life full confidence ahead. See you next week.